Okay, this is taken from Monday, January the 15th of 2024, and it's with regards to today's thought, and it's entitled, The Prosperous Get Rich Scam. The text that it's taken from is 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in verse 13, the Apostle Paul is speaking, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, the dirt wiped off by all, even until now. So much for the prosperous life preacher and his multi-million dollar church costing thousands of dollars worth of electricity each month, the high dollar band to entertain in a massive coliseum, the cost of broadcasting his message so that he can sell this prosperous life message, so he can get rich and live in a very nice home and have a $500 haircut, drive a very, very nice car. James 2 and verse 5 says, listen, my beloved brothers, didn't God choose those who are poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of a kingdom which he promises to those who love him? And of course we know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus was rich, but he emptied himself and became poor to help save us. And James, the 5th chapter and verse 1 says, come now, you rich, weep how for your misery that are coming upon you. Revelations chapter 3 verse 7, because you say, I'm rich and have gotten riches and have no need of nothing. And don't you know that you are wretched? You are the wretched ones. You're actually miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So, I'm going to add some additional thoughts here, and I'm sure many of them come to your mind. But there seems to be this general deception, particularly for Christians. And this gentleman constantly hit on the point that justified the prosperous life now, that all the blessings God give those that believe in him and have faith in him. And of course, in order to do that, you have to go back to what we call the Hebrew scriptures, or the older text, the Old Testament, better choice of words there, to get that information. And then you have to drag it forward into the Greek scriptures to have those earthly blessings that the church is selling. I mean, it is selling something. They have to use commercialism. They have to keep those seats full. Even though this man boasted in how his church was paid off, he frankly failed to tell you about how much it costs for electricity to keep this monster, keep it full, and all the other expenses that you know, if you have a home, what it takes. No, not jealous of this, but I it should be that Christians understand that they are being misled into something that Christ did not teach. Now, as we stated, you have the Old Testament, the Greek, the New Testament, and if you really read it, and it confuses a lot of Christians, you come up on this, the way God was doing things, and then all of a sudden there's this massive change from the material, the physical, into the spiritual. Now, if you never notice that, you really haven't been reading your scriptures. But if you do, you're going to see the difference. And you won't find any of the apostles preaching physical blessings. They don't preach that. They preach spiritual blessings and treasures into heaven. And if you actually can get the history of the early church, not 100 years after, but the actual writings, you'll find that Christians were persecuted heavily. They were poor. Jesus said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. And they would come together and they would share everything so that they could provide and help the widows and the fatherless boys. But any of those that sought riches usually ended up being part of the world and were counseled for that, or they just walked away from the faith. Now, it's understandable when you have a religion that's been formed for almost 2,000 years there underneath the old law, and the absolute proof that God was with those people was he would increase their livestock. He would give them the physical promised land. He would give them houses and homes. It wasn't the materialism we have today, but you could be a very prosperous person and have land and holdings, and that went into the record, determined how much you have to give the temple, and it was really a sign of God's blessing, and he didn't hide that. But you do have to understand as well that was just a shadow. It wasn't the reality. So when Christ came, he was hated because the Jews couldn't understand what he was talking about. And frankly, many Christians can't today. He started talking about being no part of this world. Now, there's a physical part of that in Israel and the Jews, but I mean literally being no part of this world, that his kingdom was in heaven and not on this earth, and anyone loving this world and the things in it and the showy display of one's means of life wasn't of Christ and God. And then all the council came down about not seeking riches, and also what I just read there. So there's this difference, and the difference is Christ came into the world. The world, being that religion, he went only to Israel, didn't even recognize him as the Son of God, and eventually murdered him. God then resurrected him and made him into the exact representation of his very being, his very image, and he subjected the angels. And Christ conquered death. The devil couldn't take his eternal life from him. So, in doing that, he had one purpose. And again, this is hard for Christians. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all the prophets, the Psalms, the entire book that was literally the shadow would be the reality in Christ. So he fulfilled all that. He completed it. He set it aside. Upon doing that, you'll find in the book of Romans that the Jews couldn't get it. They were zealous for the law. They didn't believe Christ fulfilled the law, and he frankly tells us as Christians, we have to believe it. And how did he prove it? He sent the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. He poured out the Holy Spirit. And now they were baptized not just in water, but in the Holy Spirit. And so they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, miraculously, what do we have? Well, we have no more about the business that Paul had or Peter had. I mean, it does say that Paul made tents to get by. We don't see any them becoming having a massive fishing business. They don't talk about those things because it's not the real life. They have been born again, and the old life had been crucified in Christ, put in the grave. And now they have a new life. That's the reason they didn't constantly run to their genealogy, as many Christians do. They just think that bloodline stopped. Now they were sons of God, born not of the will of man or into the bloodline of sin, but into the everlasting life of Jesus Christ. They had become the temple of God, the holy place of worship. They didn't need to worship in any mountain or any church. They were in the temple all the time. They were a body. And frankly, there was no prosperous life for most of them. That didn't mean some of them didn't have money, but they were hated by this world. They were the filth of this world. And Christ told them they would be hated by the world. So, that takes the business out of religion, doesn't it? Takes the business out of true worship. That's the reason, years ago, they used to state that religion was a snare and a racket. Now, if you want the prosperous life, that's a choice any one of us can make. But remember, there are weed Christians. And those will be dealt with at the coming of the Lord. And then we have those that follow Christ, like Job, even though they lose everything, even their life, they want to worship God in spirit and truth because He is love. And because of His grace, His undeserved kindness, His unmerited kindness, that He has given so freely to those that love Him. So, that's the issue. And when you hear these men preach this, they're misled. And they have created a business. They are a business. Most of them get used by the government because they got to go along to get their tax-free status. They have their rules and they have their positive thing. They write many, many books and make millions off those books. They get TV programs and they become movie stars. But we have renounced those underhanded things by which to be ashamed. Renounced them. There is no trickery. We don't sell Jesus Christ. He doesn't need us to sell Him. We don't sell God. There are people that clearly throughout the history of God's people that will gladly give their life out of the love for God and His righteousness and truth. The devil would like to make us not believe that. So that's a thought, and we'll stop there, and I hope you have a wonderful day.